onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is the show for Friday, August the 12th, 2016, and we're going to go into Exodus 35 and 36, I do believe. And a lot of construction details are coming up. And they don't need a huge amount of comment, but there are some interesting features to this, which I will comment upon. So this is Word for Word, and I'm Pastor Steve. You can find my written stuff on AngloSaxonIsrael.com. And broadcasts are archived at TalkShoe. And Yahweh's Followers, you can find it there. You can find it on YouTube and on EFR itself and on David James' website. You will enjoy that particularly because of all the goodies that he's got on there. Tremendous website. So let's get into this here. And I will begin at chapter 35, verse 1. And gathered Moshe all the congregation of the children of Israel together, pardon me, and said to them, these are the words which Yahweh had commanded for you to do. Verse 2, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be a holy day to you, a Shabbat of cessation from work to Yahweh. Whosoever that does work in it shall be put to death. Boy, oh boy, that's pretty serious. Verse 3, you shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. Now, if you have an automatic furnace or something like that, and it's set in automatic, that's fine. But if it goes out, according to this, you're not allowed to relight it. You have to wait till the next day, even if it's cold. He's serious about this. And later on, there's somebody that was gathering sticks to kindle a fire, and they stoned him to death. So this is not a joke. He's Yahweh, we're not. He issues laws, we are to obey them. Verse 4. And spoke Moshe to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded, saying, verse 5, take you from among you an offering to Yahweh. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering to Yahweh of gold, silver, and bronze. Notice the mention of a willing heart. If you begrudge what you're going to give and you grumble over it, then it's not given in true worship and love. And Yahweh doesn't want it. If you feel that strongly about your possession, then just keep your possession. And he will keep his blessing. Because if you give willingly, he will bless you. Verse 6. And blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, and goat's hair. Verse 7. And ram skins dyed red, and Kasham 8476 skins. They have substituted badger skins when they don't know what the word is. I don't do that. I put the Hebrew word in brackets with the Strong's number, regardless of how it's used in the King James. It is not a known word. We have lost the meaning, so don't put your opinions in. I'm not going to. And wood of shittim. Verse 8. And oil for the lamps, and spices for oil of anointing, and for the incense of spices. Verse 9. And stones of onyx, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastpiece. 10. And all wise of heart among you shall come and make all that has commanded Yahweh. He's going to draw people to him that are wise and skilled, and he's going to give them the skills necessary to make this tabernacle. Verse 11, the tabernacle, its tent, and its covering, its hooks, and its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its bases. 12. The ark and the poles of it with the koppereth and the veil of the covering. 13. The table and its poles and all its vessels and the bread of the presence. 14. The menorah also for the lamps and its instruments and its lamps with the oil for the lamps. Verse 15. And the altar for incense and its poles. I lost my place. And the oil of anointing and the incense of spices and the hanging for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 16, the altar for burnt offering, with its grate of bronze, its poles, and all of its instruments, the laver and its base. Verse 17, the hangings of the courtyard, its pillars and their bases, and the hanging for the doorway of the courtyard. Get a hit of coffee here. Verse 18. The tent pegs of the tabernacle and the tent pegs of the courtyard and their cords. Verse 19. The cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aharon the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister as priests. Verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moshe. Verse 21, and came they, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the offering to Yahweh to the work of the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. You see, this was willing giving. If you really didn't love Yahweh and want to honor him, just keep your stuff. I mean, if you're that stingy, well. And came they, both men and women, as many as were willing of heart, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewelry of gold, and every man that offered a wave offering of gold unto Yahweh. Verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, red skins of rams, and kashim skins, again, that word that we don't know what it means, brought them. And 24, every one that offered an offering of silver and bronze brought Yahweh's offering, and every man with whom was found wood of shittim for any work of the service brought it. 25, and all the women which were wise of heart did spin 2901 with their hands, and brought that which they had spun of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. They used to use the old weaver's loom and the spinning wheel and all of that back then. There was no factories and no electronic computers to guide everything, to make sure everything's exact measurements, and electric machinery to make all that. Didn't have that. They did everything by hand. 26, and all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun in goat's hair. That was going to be for the roof covering, because it was very tough and fairly waterproof. They did all this by hand, really dedicating their time, and their heart was really in it. So that was a blessing, and they were blessed for it. 27, and the leaders brought stones of onyx and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Verse 28, and spice and oil for the lamps, and for the oil of anointing, and for the incense of spices. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering, 5071, to Yahweh. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which had commanded Yahweh to be made by the hand of Moshe. Now, Yahweh wanted it made, but he desired that they want to make it. So they did want it. Verse 30, and said Moshe to the children of Israel, see, Yahweh has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda. Verse 31. And has filled him with the spirit of Elohim, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. He programmed this guy like a computer to know how to do everything, because it had to be just right. And a mere man, without that Holy Spirit guiding him, probably couldn't have done it, because this was incredibly complicated. Verse 2, and to invent skilled works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in bronze. Verse 33, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in the carving of wood, to make any manner of skilled workmanship. Verse 34, and he has put in his mind that he may teach both he and Oholiab, 171, the son of Achisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled, verse 35, he has filled them with wisdom of heart to work all manner of workmanship of the engraver and of the artistic workman and of the embroiderer in blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, and of the weaver, of those who that do any workmanship, and of those that invent skilled work. Wow. That's really something. He is going to take a regular guy who is basically pretty skilled at stuff and make a super craftsman out of him. What is beyond Yahweh to do? Nothing? Nothing? Nothing. I know from the work he's done in my life, the knowledge that he's given me, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit that I have received, because I willingly do what I'm doing here. I love the word, and I want to pass it on to my brothers and sisters because I love my brothers and sisters. Because it's in my heart to love them. Because I am an Israelite, and they are Israelites, and they are my people. We should love our people. On chapter 35, the references are verse 2, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, Twenty-three, twelve, thirty-one, fifteen, and 34:21, and in Leviticus 23:3, and in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, and in verse 7, I had already told you that 84:76 is an unknown skin. They have done that a lot in the King James, just put in whatever they thought it was and basically winged it. I don't like that. It's pretty obvious I don't like it. If you don't know, be honest enough to say you don't know. People will respect you more for being honest than if you just insert what you want to try to appear to be so wise. Well, I'm not all that wise. I'm quoting from the Hebrew, and I have all these research books, and nobody, even the doctorate level research books, don't know what some of these things are. The words have been lost. So let's not play with the Bible. The churches have done that. And I'm undoing that because I'm giving it to you straight right from the Hebrew. And it debunks a lot of their myths that they're giving. They have molested the scriptures. I call them scripture molesters. Let's get into chapter 36 here. More construction stuff. Verse 1, then Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom Yahweh had put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of workmanship for the sanctuary did all that had commanded Yahweh. Verse 2, and called Moshe, Bezalel, and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man, in whose mind Yahweh had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to the work to do it. Verse 3, and they received from Moshe all the offering, which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary. To make it. And still they brought to him freewill offerings every morning. And all the wise-hearted men that did all the work of the sanctuary all came from the work they had made. Verse 5, and spoke they to Moshe, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which commanded Yahweh to make. I mean, they were loading them up. They were enthusiastic about having the tabernacle of Yahweh among them. Verse 6, and commanded Moshe, and caused they to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Verse 7, for the stuff 4399 they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much 3498, and in italics I have put left over to separate it from the actual Hebrew, but it's a connection. There was too much left over. It makes sense in English, but it's in italics to show that it's not in the actual Hebrew. Verse 8, and every wise-hearted man among them that did the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine linen, and blue, purple, and scarlet, with cherubim of artistic work they all made. Verse 9, the length of one curtain was 28 cubits. Now remember, this is a sacred cubit. This is around 23 inches instead of the standard cubit of 18 inches. This is a cubit of the tabernacle, which is different in measurement. The same way the shekel of the tabernacle is different in weight of metal than the standard shekel. And the width of one curtain, 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size. And he joined the 5 curtains, one unto another, and the other 5 curtains he joined one to another. Verse 11, and he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the edge of the junction. Likewise he made in the outermost side of another curtain in the junction of the second. Now this is all repeated from earlier in the book. They repeat things. That's their style of writing. It doesn't have to make sense. That's how they wrote it. It's redundant. Verse 12, he made 50 loops in one curtain, and he made 50 loops in the edge of the curtain, which was in the junction of the second. The loops held one curtain to another. Verse 13, and he made 50 hooks of gold and joined the curtains to one another with the hooks, so that it became one tabernacle. You could assemble it and disassemble it. Yahweh's design. Verse 14, and he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. Now goat's hair was much stronger than linen. And that's why they used goat's hair, because it was hold up, it would cover it, and it was much more waterproof than linen. He made them 11 curtains. Verse 15, the length of one curtain was 30 cubits. That's 30 times 23 inches. That's pretty big. And 4 cubits was the width of one curtain. the 11 curtains were of one size. They were making a big thing here. Verse 16, and he joined five curtains by themselves and six curtains by themselves. Verse 17, and he made 50 loops on the outermost edge of the curtain in the junction, and 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain which joins the second. And he made 50 hooks of bronze to join the tent together, that it might be one. Now, I did it of bronze because they're stronger, pardon me, than hooks of gold. Gold is soft and will bend. Bronze is rigid. They even made swords out of it. Verse 19, and he made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of kashim skins. Again, that word we don't know. From above that, verse 20, and he made boards for the tabernacle of wood of shittim standing up. The length of a board was 10 cubits, and the width of a board 1.5 cubits. Now think about that. That's 10 cubits, that's 10 times 23 inches. That's almost 2 feet. So 10 times 2 is 20, that's 20 feet. And about 3 feet wide, 20 feet by 3 feet for a board. Where are you going to find a lumber like that today? The answer is you can't. No trees that size. That was then, this is now. Verse 22, one board had two tenons, equally distant from one another. Thus did he make all the boards for the tabernacle. The tenons were used to tie each board to the other board. Verse 23, and he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side southward, and 40 bases of silver made he under the 20 boards, 2 bases under one board for its 2 tenons, and 2 bases under another board for its 2 tenons. Verse 25, and for the other side of the tabernacle made he 6 boards. Verse 28, and made he 2 boards for the corners of the tabernacles in the 2 sides. Verse 29, and they were joined beneath and were joined together at the top of it to one ring. Thus he did to both of them in both of the corners. Verse 30, and there were 8 boards, and their bases were 16 bases of silver, under every board 2 bases. That's a lot of silver. Verse 31, and made he bars of the wood of shittim. And remember, shittim wood may be acacia wood, but we really don't know, so I put the word shittim in here, S-H-I-T-T-I-Y-M. May be from the land of shittim. There was a land of shittim. And maybe this lumber came from there. We don't know. They don't tell us. 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, 32, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle for the seaward sides. That's west toward the Mediterranean Sea. That's why they call it seaward. That's their word for west. Verse 33, and made he the middle bar to shoot 127 through 1272 through 8432, the boards from the one end to the other. In other words, they had a thing that just went all the way through and bound them together and reinforced them. Verse 34, and overlaid he the boards with gold. Whoa, that's a lot of gold for those huge boards. And made their rings of gold to be places for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. Everything was gold. This was Yahweh's tabernacle. Of course it was like that. You're talking about a place to dwell for the divine being that created everything. So he gave specific instructions how he wanted his traveling house made. And they were doing this. And it's tremendous. Verse 34, and overlaid he the boards with gold and made the rings of gold to be places for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. Verse 35, and made he a veil of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. Made he it with cherubim of artistic work. They embroidered this thing. Verse 36, and made he for it four pillars of wood of shittim, and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and cast he four bases of silver for them, which is stronger than gold. Verse 37, and made he a hanging for the door of the tent of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen of needlework, all embroidered. Verse 38, and the five pillars with their hooks, and overlaid he their capitals and their fillets with gold. Now the pillars have a capital on top, and it is a decorative loop. You see it on a lot of the Greek pillars. The big thing that's over the top of it, the big square thing with all the artwork on it, that's called a capital. And overlaid he their capitals and their fillets with gold, but their five bases were of bronze, because they needed to be really strong. Now, we got plenty of time here, and 37 is not all that long, so I'm going to do 37 today also. And Bezalel made the ark of wood of shittim. 2.5 cubits was the length of it. That'd be a 23-inch cubit, figure it out. And a cubit and a half the width of it, and a cubit and a half the height of it. 2, and overlay he it with pure gold inside and outside, and made a molding of gold for it all around. 3, and cast he four rings of gold for it to be set by the four corners of it, 2 rings on the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. 4, and made poles of wood of shittim, and overlaid them with gold. 5, and he put the poles onto the rings by the side of the ark to carry the ark. Verse 6, and made he the coppereth of pure gold. The coppereth is the lid. Solid gold lid for this thing. 2.5 cubits, that'd be 2.5 times 23 inches, was the length of it, and 1.5 cubits was the width of it. That's solid gold. That's a lot of gold. Verse 7, and made he 2 cherubim of gold, beaten out of one piece. They did this with hammers. and then shaped them with stuff on the two ends of the caporeth, like blossoms of almonds in another branch, a knob and a flower. So throughout the six branches going out of the menorah. One carob on the end of this side and another carob on the other end of that side out of the caporeth made he the cherubim on the two ends of it. Wow, this thing probably weighed a ton. Man. Okay. Verse 9. And spread out the cherubim their wings on high, and covered over with their wings the copperath, with their faces toward one another. The faces of the cherubim were to the copperath. In other words, they were looking down on the lid. 10. And made he the table of the wood of Shittim. 2 cubits was the length of it, and 1 cubit the width of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. Verse 11. And overlaid he it with pure gold, and made he a molding of gold for it all around. That was solid gold molding that went around it. Verse 12, made he also for it a border of a handbreadth. We don't know the exact measurement of that. That's your hand spread out, the tip of your thumb to the tip of your little finger, a handbreadth around it. And made he a molding of gold for the border of it all around. Verse 13, and cast he 4 rings of gold for it, and put the rings upon the 4 corners that were in the 4 feet of it. Verse 14. Opposite the border were the rings, the places for the poles to carry the table. Verse 15, and made he the poles of wood of Shittim, and overlaid them with gold to carry the table. Verse 16, and made he the articles which were upon the table, its dishes, and its spoons, and its cups, and its covers to cover it all of pure gold. Verse 17, and made he the menorah of pure gold. Of beaten work he made the menorah. Its base and its branch, its bowls, its knobs, and its flowers were of gold. Now the knobs had the flowers on top of it, and the knobs were the storage when they poured the oil down in the flowers. It went down into the knobs, and they had a wick on a wick holder that went down into the bottom of the knobs, and they had pure olive oil in that, and that's what they used to burn in the menorah. Verse 18, and 6 branches going out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the menorah going out the one side of it, and 3 branches of the menorah out of the other side of it. It had 7 lamps. The center lamp was used when they lit the center lamp. If it ever went out, they lit something from the center lamp and relit the others. The center lamp was the lighting lamp, as well as a light lamp. So that was the way they did it. The center lamp is what you light the other lamps with fire taken from it. Verse 19, three bowls made after the blossoms of almonds in one branch. A knob and a flower, and three bowls made like blossoms of almonds in another branch, a knob and a flower. So throughout the six branches going out of the menorah. 20, and in the menorah were four bowls made like blossoms of almonds, its knobs and its flowers. Verse 21, and a knob under the two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out of it. Verse 22, their knobs and their branches were of the same. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold. Can you imagine what it took to form one piece of gold into this ornate candle holder? Because that's what they did. They beat it out. They didn't cast it. Verse 23, And made he the seven lamps, and the snuffers, and the censers of pure gold. Verse 24, made he it of a talent of pure gold, and all the articles of it. Now, talent is kikar. That's the round of pure gold. And it stands for a round, like a round loaf of bread, a district around a town, like a county seat, and round, it's round. A talent is a round of pure gold. That was a major amount of gold, and all the articles of it. Verse 25, and made he the altar of incense of wood of shittim. The length of it was a cubit, and the width of it a cubit. It was four square, and two cubits was the height of it. The horns of it were the same. Verse 26, and overlaid he it with pure gold, the top of it and the sides all around, and the horns of it made he also a molding of gold all around it. Verse 27, and made he two rings of gold for it under the molding of it by the two censers of it upon the two sides of it to be places for the poles to carry it. Because all the stuff was portable. They were going to wander all over for 40 years carrying this stuff. The tribe of Levi had a bunch of different clans in it, and each clan had its particular duties. So a whole bunch of clans made up the tribe. Verse 28, and made he the poles of wood of shittim, and overlaid them with gold. Verse 29, and made he the holy oil of anointing, and the pure incense of spices, according to the work of the blender. Now remember, the holy oil of anointing was specially made and only could be used for that, and the pure incense of spices was only for Yahweh's tabernacle. And if you made anything like it, they would kill you. You'd be put to death. You are not to make that or use it or put it on yourself, the oil of anointing or the incense of spices, that would smell a particular way. They were real serious about this. Now, references In verse 29, you reference Exodus 30, verses 22 through 38. And we're going to halt right here as far as going into another chapter, because chapter 38 is too long to really do justice to today. So we're going to hold off, and I will get into that on Monday. We'll do 38, and we're coming down the end of Exodus. We'll do 38 and 39, and probably on Tuesday we will end Exodus with chapter 40, and then I will begin in Leviticus Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. So I want to do some comments on this. This is a repeated detail of construction. The style of writing of the Hebrew, they would repeat things even in the same chapter. They would repeat a lot of information that was in prior chapters. We would call this redundant today, but that's how they did things then. In translating the Hebrew to the English, we have to take account of the mindset of the Hebrew people during that period. They were not city dwellers at that point. They were nomadic sheep herders. They took their livestock and their families and their tents. They had camels and stuff to carry a lot of the heavy stuff, and donkeys. And they wandered from grazing spot to grazing spot. That's how they lived their lives. They were not established in the cities yet. And they lived the lives of nomadic herdsmen. This would change through time, but right then, in that period, they had a different view of life than they did in the cities. They built the cities with sources for water, which guaranteed them grazing lands around the city, because they irrigated the fields for crops and for grazing. But as they were wandering through the wilderness in this time period, they didn't know where they were going to find water. And there were numerous contentions with Moshe. They complained, "Oh, we don't have any water." Like it's Moshe's fault. And the deal, "This water's bitter. We don't want..." Whiners. Sorry, but that's what they were. They were constantly whining and blaming Moshe and Aharon for everything. Why did we leave Egypt? Man, they were beating you to death in Egypt. What are you talking about? They're killing you. You were slaves. What are you complaining about? You're free. You have food. You have water. Now you're out of water. Yahweh will get you water. Trust in Yahweh. This is a testing of the people of Israel. That's what this journey was. It was a test. Well, let's fast forward to now. we see all this horrible stuff that's happening in the world and here in the United States, Great Britain, the floods of immigrants here, Great Britain, France, the violence. The people of Israel are again being tested. Who's going to be faithful and trust in Yahweh and keep that faith and live the proper lifestyle? And who's going to whine and do whatever you please and follow Judeo-Christianity, watch the Talmud vision, get your opinion from the talking heads, vote in the meaningless elections, because no matter who is elected, the people that run them are the puppet masters behind the scenes that are unelected. The world bankers, and I will just go ahead and say it, the Jews. Not your average street Jew, but the Jew leaders and the rabbis, which have a death grip on your common Jew. Common Jew will follow orders. Common Jew will bleed you dry with usury. They all do that. That's the nature of the Edomite, Khazar, Canaanite, Cainite Jew. They have that satanic blood in their veins, and they're true to form. They're following their father, the devil, as Yahshua Messiah said. We are being tested. They are our punishment. They are our test to see if we will break free of their influence and follow Yahweh in truth, not just lip service with our hearts far from Him, but to actually live according to the Scripture. Now, in this day and age, it is hard to do that because everything is against us. It's been so for so long. And people are so used to living in their false comfort zone, watching sports on the Talmud vision, and drinking their beer and sitting there and just having their minds corrupted by the garbage that goes into their eyes. They send their kids to the public fool system where they are programmed. Meanwhile, the Jews are committing genocide against us. They're teaching our children to race mix. And when you race mix, you kill that pure white seed. It's not white anymore. It's a mutt. It's against Yahweh's law. It was a death penalty back then to race mix. It should be a death penalty today, but it is not. The law of the land is not Yahweh's law. We are to obey Yahweh's law, and when the law of the land is in direct opposition to Yahweh's law, we are not to obey it. Sorry about that. The disciples said, it is better that we obey God rather than man. And that's the choice we're faced with today. And it's a hard choice because people are in their comfort zones. And they don't want to break out of their comfort zones. That's the problem with trying to convert to the truth the Judeo-Christians. They are in a herd. They're happy in their herd. They all say the same thing by rote memory. Hallelujah and amen. Brother Leibowitz just told us the word. We're to love the Jews. They're God's chosen people. And we're going to send all our money to Israel. Oh, boy. Well, It's getting down to the wire because things are snowballing. The violence is increasing. And we look back in Moshe's time when they were traveling through the wilderness, and there are so many similarities of the behavior of the people of Israel and the behavior of the people of Israel today. And as Shlomo said, Solomon, in his Proverbs, there's nothing new under the sun. We are repeating as a nation. There are more and more exceptions every day, praise Yahweh. But the nation of Israel as a whole, in other words, the white race, is repeating the same mistakes they made in the early times of the scriptures. They're not following Yahweh's laws. We have to deal with this on a one-to-one basis. As individual Israelites, we cannot shove this knowledge down people's throats. We can only do our very best to live the biblical lifestyle that we have been taught by the Torah and the prophets and the writings, and reiterated and reinforced and expanded upon by Yeshua Messiah. All we can do as individuals is to be obedient. And this is what we are in process today, and it's a long, difficult road. And all I can do is teach this gospel and do the best I can out of love for my brothers and sisters, and hope it takes hold in their minds. And all you can do is to be a witness for Yahweh and Yeshua and their gospel. So I'll see you on Monday, and we'll go into Exodus 38. And maybe finish it up Monday and Tuesday and go into the book of Leviticus. So I will say Shalom Aleichem. And may Yahweh bless all of you. And I'll catch you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross on